Ciao ragazzi, it's Carmen here alongside Serena from the Napoli Club of Toronto, and welcome to the Feeding the Vesuvio podcast, a show where we talk about all things Napoli, our club, Serie A, and culture in general. So let's sit back, relax, and talk about that. Hey, welcome everyone to episode one to the Feeding the Vesuvio podcast. Excuse me. It's your co-host Carmen alongside Serena. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad, brother. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, man. Just really excited for this thing to get started, right? First episode. I know we talked about this for a little bit a couple months back after we did a Six Side Couches podcast. Shout out to them, by the way. Go visit their Instagram page. Yeah, it was that night we went on and we realized this would be something pretty fun to do, like you said before.
No, we've been talking about this for months. This is months in the making, so definitely excited to kick this off and, you know, have some interesting discussions. I'm sure there might be some explicit content and depending on what we're talking about, but
yeah,
it should be fun. I think a lot of people will enjoy it.
I hope so. And you know what, let's just get right into it, because I've been dying to talk about this topic for a little bit now, because I talked about it yesterday on the live with Danny for a bit, but I want to go a little bit more in depth, and it was yesterday's match versus Inter. So your thoughts, tell me what you thought.
Honestly, one to forget. I feel like ever since the Coppa Italia, there's, you know, this run of form that we're in has just been, you know, whether they're switched off or just burnt out or just focusing on Champions League, you know, yesterday's game was not the real Napoli, in my opinion. But
I agree.
If we look into it, the team came out in the first half really flat, really uninspired, created a few chances. Obviously, with Milik being the focal point at the top, you know, most of our buildup of plays goes nowhere. So, but yeah, they made a few chances. They probably could have scored a few if the finishing was there. But at the end of the day, Inter was a lot. Well, they had less chances, but they were way more clinical than we were.
I think that's a major part, was being clinical. I mean, there was many times where we were basically right in front of the net, and we still couldn't bury the ball. Insigne's chance that I don't know how went wide when he was basically one on one with the goalie.
He had a few. He had that one deflection too, where he kind of side footed it and it almost went in, and then that one with him and the goalie, like you have to. And I think another player had an opportunity.
Politano. Like,
yeah, you got to score there. Like, come on, like you have to score. And I feel like the problem with Napoli and with our wingers and with the way that we play is that we don't have that shoot first player. Like everybody's looking to looking for the pass, looking for the, like, you know, the play, the pretty passing play. And, you know, at some point, like, you just gotta, like, shoot. You just gotta, like, shoot. Shoot or shoot. Score or shoot.
Oddly enough, even our striker should be the shoot-first mentality, right? But he always seems to turn his back towards goal and look for other passing options, because it seems like Milik isn't confident in himself.
That's when he actually gets a ball. That's when he can actually win it.
Exactly.
I don't know. I can count on two fingers the amount of balls that he's won in the air within the last, since the restart.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely terrible. I think he's, you know, I really hope that's not how he plays for real. Like, I think, honestly, he's probably just checked out. He's waiting for his transfer to wherever he ends up going. He's obviously got no motivation to be playing. And it's very obvious.
Yeah, like his mentality, he's definitely been checked out. But you know what? It's not only him. Ever since our Coppa Italia win, I feel like we've completely checked out. We haven't tried at all during any of the games since that moment.
Mind you, you know, the games kind of don't mean anything for Napoli, but still, you don't want to finish seventh place. Like, they should be playing a little bit for pride, but. Yeah.
I agree.
That being said, you're playing every 3 days in the blistering heat. It's tough. I can, you know, from the human standpoint, like, you know, I can only imagine, you know, the toll it takes on the human body you know, playing that level of football in the summer in Italy, like, is tough. And then not having rest. But, you know, they're professionals. They obviously, other teams, all the teams are doing it, you know, can't make excuses. But yeah, they obviously have been switched off since the Coppa Italia. That's been very apparent.
But you know, like, okay, I understand that. It's very difficult to play in the heat three times a week consistently for the past, what, month now?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's very tolling on our players, but that's what squad rotation is needed. We have the depth. Don't get me wrong. Napoli has enough depth, minus the defense. The defense is kind of thin, but
yeah, that's pretty
thin. Midfield and offense, they have that
depth. I'm starting to see some injuries there right now.
Yeah, even Maximovic last night.
Manolas last week, too, picked up a knock.
Yeah, but I heard Manolas is training. He went to a full day of training today, so he should be able to come back. But Maximovic one really, really worried me a little bit because of the fact that, well, if Manolas is injured and so is Maximovic, is Di Lorenzo going to be playing center back now? How is that going to work out?
We're going to get Luperto versus Barcelona.
Oh, yeah, Luperto versus Barcelona. But that's
Luperto masterclass against Barcelona. But yeah, anyways, it seems like they're checked out of the Serie A, which, you know, I was going to say, you know, I understand, but like, really, you're professionals, so you should play every game and try to win every game, if not for your own pride.
Yeah.
But the main issue that I see with this going forward is that, okay, now we got one game before Barcelona and we're playing like freaking garbage. Like, you have to, like, you know, you want to have a good run of form before you go into a match like that.
You know what? That worries me too. And I'm on the same page as you with this. You want to have a good form and good mentality going into the Barca match. Now,
definitely.
We're getting, I don't want to say lucky, but we're going to catch a little bit of a break because Barcelona is going through some tough times as well now.
I know. But any team that has Messi, dude.
Yeah, exactly. But if, let's just say,
that's your favorite.
Let's just say hypothetically that we make it through Barca. Our next match is going to be Bayern Munich, and we cannot go into that match with the same form and mentality we have right now. They're going to tear us apart.
I'll tell you right now, if we get past Barca, be happy there.
Yeah.
Just be happy. Like, just celebrate.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're getting by Bayern. I think Bayern's going to win the whole Champions League.
I agree. I have a bet, though. I made a stupid bet that Napoli was going to win the CL. It's 20 bucks, but I was like, whatever. Let's see what happens, right?
How much does that pay?
Oh, I made a bet with a friend. I didn't bet online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was gonna bet.
I was online. About to say, like, if you bet online, like, that's got to be like what, like? Well, I mean, we're in the round of 16, so maybe the odds, like, are a little bit not, you know.
I think the payout's 75-1. Cool. Yeah, so it's a lot of money.
Okay,
it's a lot of money.
Pretty good. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway,
you know, stranger things have happened, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough because our road is going to be...
Especially, I know, we have the tougher side, but especially because it's one game. Like, literally, like, Napoli could... Like, you know, Napoli could have a game plan, you know, just play Catenaccio, just fucking hold the ball. or not hold the ball, park the bus and counterattack.
I mean, that's what we did against Barcelona in the first match, right? They played 10 men.
Why not?
They played 10 men behind the ball and then hit them on the counter, and that's how we scored.
That's it.
But how – okay, Catenaccio only works for so long, right?
It's true.
You can get broken down pretty easily playing Catenaccio, especially against sides like Bayern Munich or Man City. Like, they'll run right through you if you try
playing the full match. If you do your homework, you know, it might work. You never know.
You know what?
That would probably be our best chance, to be honest. I mean –
yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Throw on like some pace. Well, we have pacey players, like, you know, Lozano. And I would play like 10 men and then Lozano like on the last defender. And just, I don't know, just whenever you win the ball, just lob it over the defense and let him run.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the best way to go about it. But like, getting back to doing homework. Okay, so yesterday I took some time yesterday. And I rewatched some of the Napoli matches,
specifically the Inter match. And it seemed that Napoli, I don't know, I think Gattuso didn't really prep them that well for Inter. Because when I was looking, now mind you, this is Monday morning quarterbacking right now. This is me hours after the match, mulling over it, watching frame by frame, right? But re-watching this match, I found that Napoli didn't take advantage of the space that Inter was giving them. Now, Conte, we know, plays the 3-5-2 system. Mm-hmm. And in that 3-5-2, defensively, they play a 5-3-2. But it's a really, really low block and really compact. Meaning that the midfield between Brozovic, Borja Valero, and who's the other midfielder? I can't remember. I should have wrote it down.
Barella,
yeah. I should have wrote it down. Between them three and the back three, there was maybe 5 meters of space between them. It's difference.
Very tight.
So it's a very, very tight back line. But it's really easy to break if you force them to move into that. If you force balls into the half space, because then they're going to have to spread out a bit. Napoli didn't really do that. And namely, I'm going to pick out one person here, and it's going to seem typical to pick him out, but Milik really didn't pick up the spaces in between the back three to open them up a bit. He kind of just stayed central, and it was kind of easy to mark him. He never really gave other passing options on both sides of the half spaces between the defenders to open them up a little bit. I think if he had a little bit more movement, Napoli would have had more chances to open up Inter's defense.
Oh, definitely.
And put in balls in behind. Because once you open them up, right? Once you open up that back three, there's very little that last defender can do if someone makes a run in between.
No, definitely.
He's going to be in on goal just about every time, right?
Yeah, Milik has been very scarce. And, you know, that's me being generous to say he's been...
Yeah.
You know, in that position, like you said, you got to find the space. You got to hold up the play. You got to, you know, be a focal point for the midfielders and for the wingers to play off of. And the guy looks like he can't even, he doesn't know his left foot from his right foot. He can't run. It looks like Milik looks like he's playing on stilts when he's running. Like it's fucking terrible. Like, excuse my language.
No, don't worry about it.
He looks like a gazelle. Like the guy's on his ass, like the whole game. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's,
I could rip this guy right now for an hour. If you gave me the hour to just rip Milik, I could rip him. I don't know what team want him. If it's Juve, like, I don't know what the fuck, I don't know what they see.
Whoever wants him, I'll walk them to wherever he has to go. I'll take a flight to Italy and walk him there.
I'll pay for his flight. I'll buy him dinner. Buy Agnelli dinner if he buys Milik.
Milik for 40 million to Juventus, I'll walk him there all the way to Torino.
But I'll tell you right now, I don't know why. I feel like if he goes to Juve, he's going to play good in Juve. I think so. I honestly do.
Why do you say that?
Because it would be like the most, like, that's our luck. I'm so sorry to say it, but like that's like Napoli's luck. Like, Napoli will sell Milik and like he'll turn into like fucking Lewandowski at Juve. Like,
well,
pop like 37 goals.
Higuain did pretty well. I can't even front.
His first couple seasons. And now the pancha is a little bit.
It's holding him back a little bit.
Kind of.
It's like me playing striker. Anyway, yeah, so that was, like I said, Milik was 1 point. But other than that, you know, I liked Politano and Insigne together on the field. They played really, really, really well together. They had this perfect system going down. It was like watching prime Insigne Caleon all over again. Insigne cuts in, Politano makes a run in behind. And they were just, they just spanned that all game. And it was working from time to time. That's how Politano got his shot on target, which should have been a goal. Let's all be honest.
Listen, Insigne has been playing amazing. This whole, all of these games, that's the one constant is Insigne. And the fact that he's played most all of these games and he's playing at this level, like Insigne is at like peak, like prime Insigne, like level right now. He's finding the pass. Yeah. He's it's a shame because we have no one to finish. Yeah. Unless he finishes himself. But like, he's been, I have nothing but good things to say. Like, he's been
you know, consistently,
and he could be a very streaky player at times, and the fact that he's been consistent, especially, like, you know, during this whole like restart and playing every 3 days, like, yeah. I'm very, very impressed with Insignia.
Yeah, I gotta agree. He's been one of our most consistent players this season in terms of performance. Same with, I gotta say, Zielinski. He's been playing pretty well.
Sometimes he frustrates, like, the hell out of me. He really frustrates me. Like,
yeah, he makes some good plays, but, you know,
not just that. Like, he's really a good player. Like, he moves the ball well. He's got a hell of a shot, but if he could just get it on target, like, yeah, holy, I agree. Shit.
I mean, he got it on targets, and Handanovic had a lot of problems with it. He let a really easy rebound that Elmas, if he was just a half a step ahead, Elmas would have buried it in off the rebound.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. He's got a hell of a shot.
Oh, definitely. He's a good player, but he's still, I don't know, like, I feel like he hasn't reached his full potential, like, yet. Like, I feel like he could be, like, a lot more better than he is right now. But
you think it's going to be like a Koulibaly late bloomer situation?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. But honestly, like, who knows? I don't know. We haven't had luck with the Polish.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah,
got to give him time. I think that's a player that you keep for sure.
No, yeah, definitely. Him and Fabian together.
Exactly, yeah, I agree.
Are probably our best two midfielders by far.
But going back to the game, in terms of that, you know, I just felt that Napoli just didn't take advantage, as much advantage. They did take advantage at times, and they really put Inter on their heels. But they could have taken more advantage had they done the correct homework, they could have easily put Inter into big, big trouble.
Oh, definitely.
But, you know,
like I said, I feel like they're just switched. Even if the game plan was there, they're switched off.
Exactly.
But the problem is with Napoli is I feel like they gotta be, like, I get it. Like, you want to hold the play, you want to play possession, you want to, like, you know, build the play. But sometimes you just gotta be more direct. But you, like, know, they gotta play more direct.
The way Napoli plays is they're built to play a fast paced direct game. That's what they're built for. Man.
Lately, they've been playing slow.
They've been playing slow now because that's what Gattuso wants. He wants possession play. Because
I know, but look when we were with Sarri. Sarri had possession and fast. Like, if you could play that possession, moving the ball fast, like, that's how you gotta play, is fast. Napoli plays so slow. It's really easy to set up against them.
It really is.
They're going nowhere. Like sometimes they'll be on a break, and then they'll stop, turn back, and it ends up back into the defense.
Don't even get me started with that, because they're on the counter and fucking Zielinski or Fabian turns around, I want to punch a hole through my TV.
Oh my god, my controller! I want to throw it.
But why? Why are you stopping? Turn. You have a winger.
Go pass the wing or shoot. I don't know. Maybe there's a rebound. Like, you can't score if you don't shoot.
Exactly.
Shoot on net.
Exactly.
Oh, let me rephrase that. Shoot on target. On target.
Now, let's rephrase that even more. Target doesn't include posting crossbars, because God knows himself how many we've hit those this year.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ. Don't even get me started.
By the way, guys, where the podcasts are going to go. We're going to get heated pretty quickly. Oh. So get ready for that.
Are you kidding me, man? Look at the team that we're covering right now. my main source of stress, and I'm a Leafs fan, but the Napoli stresses me out more. Yeah, believe it or not,
I can believe. I'm a Penguins fan, but
I thought you were a Leafs fan.
No, I'm a Penguins fan. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Evgeny Malkin. I always liked him.
Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah,
he's a good player.
Anyway,
he probably didn't say Crosby.
No, okay, yeah, Crosby too. He's a great player, but I always liked Malkin. And when I first started playing hockey, I was put as a center. Because I'm a bigger dude, and so is Malkin, like, being a bigger center, that's how I modeled my game after. I always stuck.
So you just, yeah.
Yeah, something resonated with me with Malkin. And ever since then, I've been a Penguins fan.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, You want to get into transfer market stuff? I think we should reduce our stress a little bit right now.
Yeah, or just, you know, add on top of it. But,
Transfer market. When is Victor Osimhen being signed? Because it's been Victor Osimhen Day for the past week, and I'm starting to get frustrated.
Apparently he's signed. It's just
a
formality waiting for the official
signed, but there's something, being a Napoli fan and knowing how the Mercato goes, not seeing a tweet from De Laurentiis gives me a bit of anxiety.
No, I see that. Honestly, I'm not too worried. I think that he's coming. What I saw that was, well, it's always different, but I saw a few reporters reporting this, was they were waiting for the Carnesis transfer to go through. He was having some trouble with his contract negotiation, but that seems like it's been ironed out. So hopefully, well, what day is it today? Today is the
29th.
Hopefully tomorrow, the 30th, we
Victor
Osimhen Day. I think so.
Because it was supposed to be, from what I read and what I understood, it was supposed to be before the Inter match yesterday.
But obviously, part of the Carnesis thing pushed it back, but it seems like Carnesis has his contract now. He wanted 3 years, they wanted 2 years, and they ended up going to 3 years. So.
Okay, so they panned that out.
Yeah, so I think tomorrow is going to be the announcement.
I hope,
or it could be that they're waiting for him to get back from Lagos.
Well, yeah, it could be too, because he's on vacation right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's back home. Yeah. So it could be they're waiting for him to get back.
Yeah, that could be a possibility. Yeah, I can see that.
But I mean, it's not like they're gonna. Well, I mean, supposedly the pictures and everything have been taken. They took the pictures at the medical. That's what Oma, you know, famous Oma.
The newly adopted Neapolitan. Definitely. God bless that man. When he first broke the news, I started screaming and jumping around my house. Because, you know what? I like him. And I talked about this with Danny yesterday. When I first heard the rumors about Osimhen coming, I wasn't too sure about him. So I had to do my homework, right? I went to go watch some of his gameplay. I went to go watch some highlights. And he has something that we don't have. He's clinical within the 18. It seemed as if that it didn't matter where he was. He always found a way to put the ball in the back of the net.
That's it. That's what we need. And that's what we're missing.
That's what we.
That's a Cavani. That's a Higuain.
Exactly.
That's that kind of player that Napoli needs. That guy who.
Yeah. He's fast. He is really, really fast. And just thinking about a counterattack that involves Insigne, Osimhen, and let's say Lozano or even Politano, both of them are fast. But that scares me as a defender if I see both of them, all three of them, running towards me at full tilt. So it's,
if one doesn't get you, the other one's gonna get you.
Exactly.
The other one's
gonna get you. Yeah. They're all gonna burn you somehow, some way. So
Napoli's gonna be really fun to play with in FIFA. That's what everyone is.
FIFA 21.
I mean, we already got like 99 pace on Napoli, but it's gonna be like 103 once Osimhen comes.
And not only that, plus we have Petagna as a super sub, right? To be that physical target man in the box.
I could see him starting a few games. He's a pitcher. If he can score, he scored like half of like Spal's goals, like in Serie A. Like, if he could score with Spal, at that level, like
he can score with
imagine. Imagine having like, you know, Insigne feeding you the ball, Fabian giving you through balls. Like, you know, you have that service. Like, that's what you gotta like imagine. Like these strikers, like Osimhen and Catania. Like at Lille, like you're telling me Lille has a player like Fabian or like Insigne that's able to thread a ball through like a pinhole. Like the service is gonna be a lot better, and that's the same like when Cavani came to Napoli. Cavani scored what, like maybe. He did pretty good at Palermo. He got like maybe 14, 15 goals. But the service got better. When you have, you know, the better service and the players playing for you, basically, to score, you're going to score a lot of goals, especially if you have that killer instinct. And I think both of those players have that killer instinct. I really like Petagna. I thought like when they signed him, I thought they should have just signed him and he should have just stayed with us, not got loaned out. But because I think we could have used him, obviously.
Yeah, we really needed him right now.
Look right now, wouldn't you have loved to sub on Petagna?
I'd kill for it.
or Milik to, like, I don't know, sit in the tribuna. And that's another thing that's been irksing me a little bit. Where's Llorente?
Oh, he's off the team sheets. He's his
but like, why? Expired,
I think.
Is his contract expired?
I think so.
Oh my god.
I haven't really looked into it, but I know he's not on the team sheet anymore. The number 9 is available. Osimhen, wink wink.
Wink wink, yeah. But it's like, holy, like, crap, like, we could have used a lot. I thought I would assume that Llorente would be miles better than Milik is right now, you know.
Do you really think I think so. Llorente is like a pylon too, man.
But no, but Llorente will win a ball in the air. Llorente will score a goal, like,
fair enough.
The big body, he's an experienced player. I don't know.
I really needed Mertens that match for my own sanity. I really needed Mertens in that match. And even after, like I said, after analyzing it, having someone who is more mobile in that final third would have really caused them problems. And having Osimhen, praying that we have him, having him next year, he's gonna fill that role of being that mobile player in the box, spreading the center backs open, making them think, not even just beating them. As long as you can make them think, right, and get on their minds a little bit, that's all you need to do. Milik doesn't do that. He did when he first came to Napoli. He was pretty mobile, but then he had the ACL injuries and all that. But I just
run out of patience with him.
Yeah, me too. And ever since those injuries and ever since he's checked out, I feel like this is going to sound irrational, but he's been playing bad on purpose, and I just can't wait for another striker to come in and fill that place.
In my opinion, I'm very disappointed. He's been very ungrateful. He wants to move out.
I do. I'm disappointed as well, because you know what? When he first came, I really liked Milik. I did. I'll be honest.
He was tearing it up when he first got to Napoli. He was doing very well.
He was, and I'm disappointed and frustrated, if anything, about how this all turned out. But that could all be erased with a striker like Osimhen, Petagna, and a couple other signings. Like I talked about this with Danny yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watch it or did you tune in at any point.
I can't remember. Yeah, I did. I did watch.
All right. Well, we talked about some signings afterwards, and we talked about Boga. Fantastic signing if we can seal him to replace Caglione's spot.
Oh, definitely.
Which, that's another player that you know, and most of the guys from the club know that how I feel about Caglione. I won't get into it because this podcast can go over.
I don't want to rip him, because honestly, he's been like a really loyal player, and he loves Napoli and he loves the team. And you know, I always want to have respect for players who, you know, want to play for the team and basically give their all for the shirt. I mean, the guy's playing for free,
right? I gotta agree. I can't take anything away from that, right? He's been,
but you know, yeah,
he's been fantastic for us, especially in 2015, 2016. He had
a few really, really amazing seasons. And you know, he's still a good, like, he has his positive attributes about him. But you know, obviously, if we're looking based, you know, objectively on play, he misses lots of chances, like, and it frustrates me. That's he's really good at making the runs, and you know, he's fast, he's pacey, it's just the finishing. Like, he gets so many chances and he just misses so many chances, and I don't know, my patience has run thin. I'm happy that he's going, but obviously I don't want to rip the guy on his way out after, you know, everything that he's done for Napoli. And but yeah, definitely it's great to see some new blood coming in.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I'm gonna be honest, I rip him every single game. Every single game he starts, I rip him a new one, because I don't know. Like, I agree, he's done well for us, and he really put in blood, sweat, and tears into that jersey, and I got to thank him for that. But at the same time, buddy, bury the ball in the back of the net. You're 5 feet away. Like, come on.
Listen, he makes that run, and Insigne finds him every time. If he could just finish it, he would have like twice as many goals as Mertens, I'm convinced.
I agree. He just didn't have that last touch. That last touch is what he needed.
Yeah, like he does everything else pretty good. Like, it's just the finishing, and he's always the one that gets the best chances. That's like, even Milik, like, it's always the players that can't finish that get the best chances. Like,
yeah,
fuck, it's the hell out of me.
Exactly. But, you know, having said that, if we can secure a signing like Boga, who I've been really impressed with, and I think Sassuolo wants 40 million, 45, something like 40, that.
45, yeah.
Right?
They want cash. They want pure cash.
They want cash. Okay, that's a bit of an expensive signing in my eyes for a player of his caliber. But if we can, I don't know, play around with the numbers a bit and throw in a couple players, I think we can come out with a really good signing in Boga or a really good signing in Nandez to replace Alan. I really like Sapolcay from Salzburg. But
he's a good player.
But I think he's staying or going to Leipzig because they're kind of like, are they like brother club? I can't remember what they are, but there's a
like, kind of attached, right? Co-affiliated. Yeah.
So if he's not going to one team, he's going to go to the other. So he probably will go to Leipzig. But if we can make that signing as well, that would be, I feel like we'd have one of the best midfields in Europe.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially if like Fabian stays and exactly. You know, we build the midfield. Fabian, I feel like, still has a lot of potential, like a lot of, like, he has a lot of room to grow. Mm-hmm. Like, he hasn't reached his full potential yet.
Yep.
He's very raw. His talent is still very raw, but he definitely has potential to be like top tier midfielder in the world. So that's who I would build around in that midfield. And, you know, obviously need a few more pieces with Alan leaving. But with Nandez, I mean, you can never kind of go wrong with a player that knows the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's kind of like the safe signing. But
the one thing that I if kind of scares me about Nandez is that he fouls way too often. And he gets yellow cards a lot and disciplinary points, whatever it's called. He misses some matches because of it. But he is a ball winner that we kind of need right now because none of our midfielders are ball winners, really.
We've been missing that since Alan, checked out.
Exactly.
Decided to stop playing.
Yeah. But
we've been missing that line in the midfield for sure.
Yeah, we need that one ball winner. Like, technical ability, I think we've got that covered. Technical ability in the midfield with Fabian, Gialou, Lobotka. Dem is very technical as well. We just don't have that person with
grit.
Yeah, with Grinta. They need the Grinta in the middle of the field. And we need someone like Nandez to fill in that role.
You need Gattuso to throw on a jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Put on the bulldog.
That's the type of player that we're missing right there. Is like a Gattuso.
Yeah, but seriously speaking, man, if we fill in those two links and a fullback, I've always said fullback.
Yeah, we need a left back. But honestly, that was one of the highlights of the game yesterday, was seeing Ghulam get back on the field.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why they don't give why they can't give him more runs. Like, he looked good. Like, he looks good.
Mario Rui's been doing well this year. I guess that's why. He's been consistent. No,
but we're literally just going to let, like, Ghulam, like, rot or, like, leave. Like, Ghulam before his injury was, like, one of the top, like, left backs 100% in Serie A.
Yes, yeah.
But a lot of European, like, top teams in Europe wanted Ghulam too.
Yeah, I remember United at one point wanted to buy him.
He was really good, like, on that left wing. And, you know, the chemistry with Insigne, the passing plays. He has offensive abilities. He can score goals. His crosses actually make it into the box multiple times. So, I don't know. If we could get him, you know, back to full form or playing, that's like signing a player right there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the way I'm thinking anyways. But
Regardless, we don't really need a right back because we have Di Lorenzo.
And Malqui.
Oh, yeah, Malqui.
And supposedly Hisai is staying, unfortunately. But Gattuso likes Hisai, apparently, so that's why.
Gattuso likes him. I don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's
95% of he gets the brunt of most of Napoli Twitter's wrath most days.
Yesterday he did all right. The game before that he did pretty good.
You know what? I'll give him this. I haven't noticed him for a while, so if I'm not noticing a defender or a left back or whatever, that means that you're probably doing good, or you're not terrible.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you notice them, that means they've done something wrong.
Defenders, when you notice them, they're doing terrible things. Exactly. Unless you're Koulibaly, who makes monster tackles.
How about that tackle yesterday? Oh my god,
that was amazing.
That was disgusting.
That was like one of the best tackles I've seen, I think, period.
I agree.
And that's against Lukaku. Lukaku's a unit. That guy's a fridge. Like he dummied him. Like that was amazing.
That was great. I thought Lukaku went by him. I didn't see the ball. I saw the ball. I saw Lukaku touch it, and then I just didn't see the ball anymore. I'm like, what happened to it? Then I see Koulibaly just turn around with the ball and make the pass out. I'm like, wow.
I love how like he'll make a play like that and he'll like just dart up like he wants to go score a goal. I'd love to see honestly I don't know why the players, like when you see Koulibaly running through the middle like that, just pass him the fucking ball, see what he could do. Like I'm screaming, like give Koulibaly the freaking ball after that tackle, bro. He's fast, man.
He's fast, but on the ball he's got good footwork and good dribbling for a center back.
That's probably what makes him, such a top defender. Is he's able to control that ball. He's so calm in possession. He moves the ball like he's a facilitator from the defense, and that's in modern football, modern soccer, like that's so important, is to have that facilitator in the defense.
Especially if you're playing from behind, like how Gattuso's playing. You're playing from the back. You need someone who's comfortable on the ball and can make the right decisions with passing wise or dribbling wise as a center back. Because if you don't, if you have what's a good example? If you have I don't know. No names coming to mind right now. I'm trying to think of center back names not good on the ball.
Britos?
Yeah. Britos. That'd be a pretty good one. Someone like that. You can't play like that from the back. You have to find a different way. Brito unlock a deep memory, man.
Oh my god. Brito and Fernandez was our center back pairing once upon a time.
Hey, listen, if we can make it through that, we can make it through anything.
Oh, definitely. The highlight of Britos' career was headbutting Morata. Honestly, any stupid shit he did before then, like, I don't know, I forgave it. Like, that was, like, amazing.
Yeah, even though they weren't the greatest team, I still enjoyed watching them play just because of the fact that the shithousery was unbelievable. The shithousery was unbelievable. I sat back and enjoyed it.
I mean, apart from Hamazik, Lavezzi, and Cavani, the rest of the team was just like, definitely.
But I miss that front three. We need something like that front three again. But who knows? It could be Insigne, Osimhen, Boga, Politano, Lozano, whatever.
Don't forget Insigne, Mertens, Caleon, man. That was
Insigne, Mertens, Caleon 2016 was a top tier combination.
An elite combination. Yeah. They were elite.
The fact that we didn't win a Scudetto that year made me. I was.
Don't even get me started, man. 90 points. 91?
The most points ever ever made by a second place team. 90 points. 91, whatever it was.
Wasn't meant to be, man. I mean, we had it. Like, it was. Well, we technically didn't have it because we were never ahead that final stretch, but you thought when Inter was beating Juve, you thought that was it. Like, okay, we're going to do this. Even if they tie, like, we could still pass in the next game. Yeah. And I remember, being so happy. Like, I was like, I thought we won the Scudetto, to be honest. I thought, okay, we fucking won it. Like, but
until I saw the penalty.
Penalty, and then, yeah.
Even that Fiorentina match. That Fiorentina, okay,
Now we're hitting nerves here, right?
Yeah. Even that Fiorentina match, okay. as a referee, now, I'm not a professional referee. I'm not a professional soccer player. I'm nothing near professional. But I understand the game. As a referee, you see that tackle being made by Koulibaly. Maybe at the max, yellow card. Maybe. And that's really pushing it with a VAR review and everything. How can you, in the 8th minute of the game, send off the best defender of that team for a tackle that was 50-50? It boggles my mind that that went, that somehow just slid nonchalantly.
Listen, I don't know. I don't want to say anything that's going to get me in trouble here.
Yeah.
But, you know, those two games.
Questionable.
Let's use that word. Questionable.
Questionable to say the least.
Makes you think a little bit. You know, well, we didn't win. That's the end of the day. Like we lost. We lost against Fiorentina. We ended up, you know, fluffing, I think, a few other games after that.
And yeah.
That was the end of it. But yeah, like that whole weekend was a
disaster.
I don't even think what year was that? I don't even think like the next day. I think I skipped work. I didn't even go to work the next day. I was floored. You understand floored?
Like, yeah.
I told my boss.
That was exam period for me at university. So.
Oh, so you couldn't. I called him. I'm like, and my boss watches you. I called. I didn't even have to say anything. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, stay home. Like,
yeah.
Have a day. My boss is really cool. He's a City fan. He doesn't watch Serie A too much. But
City's not a bad team. I don't mind them.
Yeah. He was a City fan before the Arab money. Mm-hmm. So. Give him props for that. All of his family are Juve fans, but I'm glad that he
broke the tradition.
Broke the tradition, you know.
I agree. Anyway, I think we're gonna wrap it up in a little bit now because I got to get up early tomorrow. I got to
run out.
So, any final remarks you want to say?
Well. What's the next game? Saturday against Lazio?
Saturday against Lazio, which we... I don't know. Are you available for that? Because we might be able to record for that.
Yeah. I mean... yeah, probably. Maybe. Okay, I'll let you know.
We'll talk about it and we'll let everyone else know.
So Saturday. And that's the last game of the season, right? Yeah. That's going to be fun. Immobile is going to score a hat-trick.
Break the record.
He's going to break the record. Yeah, no, I bet you any money that's what's going to happen. He's going to get two penalties and he's going to score a real goal.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised. But hey, it is what it is. I'd rather hit
the record. You know, that's what I was about to say. Would you rather the trader have the record or...
No. I'd much rather have Immobile have the record. Even though...
Definitely.
Even though he has 14 penalty goals this year.
They all count. What can you do? The penalty rule is another thing that we could go and talk so because Napoli could have had a penalty last game too. I've seen lesser handballs called in the box for penalties.
Speaking of that handball, you just struck another nerve right now, sir. I know. Speaking of that handball, we saw two of those, two, not one, two of them get given against Atalanta.
I don't know what to say, Carmen, honestly.
We've seen two of those.
When it comes to the penalties, I don't even know what to say. Something's got to give because I don't know. It feels like honestly, like, I don't like to play like the sore loser, but it honestly feels like the refs have something against Napoli. Like we get absolutely like shit on with calls. Like
four penalty calls all season with 12 conceded.
Yeah, like for a team like. For a team like Napoli, like the chances we created, like we do get those questionable moments like that, like they could possibly give us a penalty, but yeah. It seems like there's some sort of bias, to be totally honest. But you know, just looking from a neutral standpoint on the penalty rule, you know, it's not that it's shit. It's just be consistently. If it's consistently shit, at least it's consistent.
Yes, I agree.
Like it's got to be like it's just with VAR and everything, like they got to get the refs together and got to say, look, this is a penalty. This isn't a penalty. This is a penalty because of this, and this isn't a penalty because of this. Like it has to be consistent. Like they can't just be like depending on the ref or depending on the VAR. that's so difficult to like gauge, because like then we're debating like, oh well, in this game they gave this penalty even though it shouldn't have been a penalty, but they gave it. Like, you know, it's just they gotta figure it out in Serie A. Like it's terrible now with VAR. Like it's even more frustrating because like you're looking at it twice. Like you have someone else looking at it, and you guys are both making the shitty calls or the inconsistent calls.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But it's not,
it's a topic for another day.
But it's not only that. Yeah, we'll get into this another day. But like for my remarks, it's not so much the VAR; it's the handball rule that really gets to me.
Yeah, the handball rule
has been inconsistent all season, right? It's technically speaking from the book, if the arm is in an unnatural position, that makes your silhouette look bigger, right?
Technically,
if my arm's right beside my body and it hits me and you're going to call the penalty, then what the hell's the rule? The rule just, it doesn't mean anything. Now the handball is whatever you decide the handball is, not what the rule is.
Well, last game, who was it? It was D'Ambrosio? His hand like looked a little, his arm looked a little bit out. Like it would have been a tough one to give.
Yes, but I've seen worse though. I've seen that penalty call. I've seen worse being given.
That's definitely. What me. Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, that's a topic forever. That's a topic for a different day. Thanks everyone for tuning into this podcast. Stay tuned for the next one, and Forza Napoli sempre, Serrano.
Ditto, man. Forza Napoli sempre, man. Hopefully we have better things to talk about. Hopefully we'll talk about a win next podcast.
I hope so, too. All right. See you guys. Ciao.
See you. Ciao.